Hola y bienvenido a Planeta Estela. I'm Veronica Vilsky, and we will hear from David Carlson of Las Vegas, Nevada. Dave wrote a detailed written review of our Estela Spanish schools in Santiago and Viña del Mar, Chile. He has graciously agreed to speak with me today and fill in more details about his Spanish immersion program. Dave, bienvenido.
Bienvenido, Veronica.
Gracias. Can you begin by telling me a little about yourself?
I'm an aging athlete. I'm about 66 years old. So actually, I am 66 years old. I graduated as an architect, which means that, we're taught to think outside the box. During my career, I've been a project manager and a city planner, so I have an appreciation for the built environment plus the walking environments that I'm in. I'm a risk taker. I've done many marathons and triathlons, that sort of thing. I consider myself a non-traditional thinker. I've got a couple of adult kids, and one's 28, the other's 32. I'm married, and I live in Las Vegas. I get bored fairly easily, so I like to try new things, and I like to keep it fresh.
Good. And I know you said you're kiteboarding right now, and I had to Google what that was, and it looks really awesome.
I'm in South Texas right now, working on my kiteboarding skills. And, it's kind of interesting down here because, unlike a lot of places in the United States, there are a lot of aging people here who are getting into the sport and who are very active, and it's difficult to find that in this country.
Yeah, especially with something that is so physical. So I mean, I'm assuming that kind of you keeping sharp and staying active is what led you to a Spanish immersion program. Was there anything else that drove you to do that?
Well, of course, boredom was one of the things, but I traveled to Spain a couple of years ago, and I've always had an appreciation for Spanish-speaking countries. Of course, in Las Vegas, a large number of people that live there are from Mexico and do speak Spanish. So, although really the Anglos there don't really get that engaged with the Hispanic community, unfortunately, I had an appreciation. Plus, I lived in Albuquerque, and I was in the among the Anglo minority for 20 years, and I really liked the culture. So I've had sort of a connection with the Latin cultures for many years, and many good friends that come from that background. So that was part of my appreciation for the Spanish language. Also, my son took a trip after he graduated down to Argentina and Chile for about a month, and talked a lot about how he really liked Chile in particular. Actually, in some ways, more than Argentina, because Argentina, apparently, there's a lot more issues with money and inflation and that sort of thing. And I think he felt that Chile was a lot more safe and stable than Argentina. So that was another driving thing to head for Chile.
Yeah. So when you started the school shop, what was your first impression of Acela?
Well, as most of us do, we go on the internet to try to develop our idea. We come up with an idea and then try to fill in the blanks on the internet. And I was very impressed with the Acela site, as I recall. There was a lot of information there. There were some videos that I could kind of watch. And so that was my initial contact. Plus, I responded to one of the areas where you click to connect with Acela, and they got back to me within, I don't know, a matter of hours. And so I was very impressed by that. Just the way the site was put together, I think I looked at a video by one of the founders or something, and I thought, you know, this woman's got the right idea about delivering customer service. On top of that, I had a friend whose daughter had studied in Chile, and I sent her the site and said, is this legit? And she wrote me back after taking a look at the Acela site that she thought it was legit. Mm-hmm. And that was very important because, see, I'm aging up a little bit. I don't want to have I don't want to have a bad experience. I'm willing to take a risk, but I don't want it to be a stupid risk. So
yeah, not like that.
Yeah. So I kind of feel like I did a good job of due diligence. And then, you know, you get to that point and you just have to throw your butt out the window and make a commitment, you know, and, and live, you know, you have to make an obligation in order to do anything in this, you know, in this life. And I thought, well, worst case, I'd lose my tuition and that'd be that. And I felt like I could do that, walk away from that and not be broke, because Acela was a reasonably priced operation, I think, for the for the month, with all of the education, with all the classroom and the live with a host stay. I think it was like $2,000, which I thought was very reasonable. And so anyhow, that's how I chose Acela.
Nice. What were your accommodations while you were in Santiago and Viña del Mar?
Well, I think there was a range of accommodations based on what I talked to when I talked to other students who were attending. Mm-hmm. I chose to do the homestay there in both places. And what I found was that Chile, the people work very hard. They're humble. They work very hard. They're modest people, et cetera. And the two places where I stayed were places that were owned by women who were single.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, I believe, you know, she was like 70, but a very charming lady. And as a matter of fact, we drank wine together almost every night after dinner, a little bit, you know. And we had a good relationship. I had my own room. I had basically my own bathroom, so that was great. In the other situation in Viña del Mar, I arrived there late one Sunday night and went to my accommodation. And the woman who brought me there, who owned the accommodation, was very nice. But after seeing my room, I knew that this wasn't going to work out, because the covers of the bed were soiled, and that's one thing. But then I pulled those back, and then the blanket underneath was soiled. And so I made a decision right there, actually kind of based on my wife's policy. She travels quite a bit and had traveled quite a bit in her career, that I would have to make a change, because I was going to be there for 3 weeks.
Well, right.
The next morning, I talked to Carolina, who manages the Acela facility in Viña, and I said, this isn't going to work out. My basic requirements for, I said I wanted something simple and clean, were not being met in this place, even though the lady was very nice. And so Carolina, within 2 hours, she took care of it and had me, and had contacted someone, and I had another place to stay.
Good.
And which I moved to the following day. So I thought, you know, everything Acela was very responsive, that they, you know, cared about that they understood it, that they got it.
Right. And it's good you said something right away, too.
Yeah. One of the things that I found interesting was older people will say something right away, or at least, you know, the more experienced people, whereas the younger people will have a tendency to live in unsatisfactory conditions and complain. And what they should do is just make, you know, make their feelings known right away so that, you know, so that the people can resolve it, because they're very willing to resolve it. But I think sometimes that just kind of comes from experience.
Yes. Yep.
So, well, the, you know, and the second homestay was with a family. It was wonderful. They advised me on a number of things, including travel, methods of travel and buses and all kinds of things. They made me local dishes. The daughter, who was about 11, was studying English. Just an absolutely charming couple. Mother and daughter.
Excellent. So how did your Acela classes compare to other educational experiences that you've had?
Well, it's hard to compare them to other educational experiences. I felt like I was back, you know, in seventh grade, struggling in a language course, because, you know, I'm older, okay, as I said in the introduction. I've been successful in life. I'm not used to being frustrated and feeling totally dumb about things. While I knew some Spanish, I had taken the Rosetta Stone. This was a different level. Okay, this was the real thing. I mean, you were being taught grammar and other things that, you know, I hadn't experienced in years. So after the initial shock, I, you know, worked very hard to try to keep up with the other students. I was one of the few people in the class that knew only one language. Most of the students there, as you probably know, Veronica, are from other countries like Germany or even French-speaking Canada. Most of my classmates, almost without exception, knew two languages and had some understanding of how a language is formed, you know, what are the key elements of grammar and stuff like that. So, I had to work hard. I struggled. We had people with a sense of humor, so that was very helpful. Plus, I had a couple of young ladies from Germany who spoke very good English that helped me out. And another thing that was very helpful was during the class, if there were questions about a specific topic, the instructor would respond in English or give an explanation in English. Turns out that for whatever reason, English is sort of the international language at least in this situation. So I was able to understand what was going on in the class most of the time. I like to say all the time, but I just don't want to give myself that much credit.
Yeah, that's hard.
So it was, and what's interesting is that instructors were all very nice, which is important because you learn from nice people or people that, you know, we believe in. So I had confidence in the instructors and I knew they were trying to do a good job for me. And, but they were all business. They wanted you to learn. You know, we had a specific curriculum. The teaching materials, as I mentioned before, were great. We all learn different ways. I'm more of a visual learner. Some people have other methods of learning, but the way the materials were laid out, they touched on all aspects of everyone's learning abilities, whether it's visual or whatever. So I thought the materials, I thought the instructors were great. I don't think I could have asked for a better learning environment.
Yeah, excellent. So what activities or longer trips did you enjoy while you were there?
Well, I think activities are very important to the whole experience, the whole Acela experience. And Acela uses a combination of instructor-led tours, plus they hire tour people. And I went on some of both of them, and they were both excellent. One of I think one of the cost, one of my policies, which kind of rubbed off on even some of the younger kids, was just say yes. So no matter what the activity was, I just said yes, and I did it. Whether it was surfing, whether it was something I could do easily, or whether it was something that you know, I was worried about my own capabilities or whatever, I always said yes, and I always encouraged everybody else to say yes. And that led me into some, you know, some things that I probably wouldn't have discovered otherwise. I think Acela does a good job of trying to provide these kinds of activities to their students, and I think it's important to take advantage. Now, some people have to go to class all day because that's what their job, they're sent there by their job. They have to go there 8 hours a day. I can't imagine how difficult that would be because for me, you know, I had 4 hours and each day of classroom, and that was plenty. I was mentally exhausted, and then we had some homework on top of that for the next day, which I had either do after class or get up early in the morning, which is what I normally did. So doing things with other people gave me the opportunity, of course, to meet on a more casual basis some of my fellow students, but also experience things within the culture, within the country. And I think the cultural ones took place in Santiago. As a matter of fact, I'd like to go back and spend more time in Santiago because I really didn't get to do enough there. But the tours were, for instance, we went on one mountain hiking tour out of Santiago, and then we came back and we had fresh cooked empanadas, well, fresh made and fresh cooked empanadas in some little roadside joint, which was just absolutely great. We went to a museum in Santiago, the Violeta, you know, me on with this, Pariah. He was a folk artist, and it was super well done. And I'm, because I have an architecture background, I'm a bit of a snob. So, and the instructors were exceptional at explaining, you know, the cultural aspects of the museum there. So in Vinya, we did more athletic things, surfing, kayaking, walking the streets of Valparaiso, et cetera. And it never seemed to get old to me. I even took the same tour more than once just to, you know, have something to do in the afternoon. And the tour guy, you know, the people from the school were great. So I think that you need to have that sort of thing after a hard day at school. I know some people think that's ridiculous, you know, after 4 hours, but and I thought that they did a great job, and things were cheap. Like you could go. I went on a kayak trip for an hour and a half, a guided kayak trip, and I think it cost me like $12.
Oh, nice.
Something like that. Everything was very cheap. You know, it was just. I'm used to, you know, getting, you know, a tour like that in the States would be $75, you know. So the school arranged for things that were very economical. We also went to the Isla Negra, home of Pala Nadura, which was great, and a bunch of other things. So, I'm sure we don't have time to get into all of it, but it was well done. The people at Acela were careful about who they chose as tour people. And it was super economical and super well done.
Good. Did you feel like having that downtime or activity time helped your lessons from earlier in the day kind of sink in or muddle around in your mind?
I'm not sure about that. Okay. I think that some of the conversation on the bus, you know, kind of helped, you know, because a lot of it was in Spanish. But I know that it would have been a very difficult month if I hadn't done this. And the choice for the homestay so that you get the full experience and the tours, et cetera, helps keep things really moving fast. So the month kind of went boom, you know, and before I knew it, I was on a plane coming back home. So all of that really worked for me.
Good. Do you have a favorite or memorable Spanish word or phrase?
I guess the popular word down there is cachai or something, you know.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not exactly sure what it means. It means like or, you know. Okay,
right. I think
something. You
can use it for quite a few things.
So I would say I heard people saying that a bunch. That would be it.
Is there anything else you want to share with people who are considering an immersion program?
Well, I talked to an older guy there, you know, like me, maybe even older, and he had taken quite a few Spanish immersion programs in different parts of South America. And he told me that he thought that Acela was the best. So I guess I landed in the best place in probably one of the best countries in South America. And Chile is a very safe place. If anybody's considering going to South America, I felt totally secure in my home stay. I left my passport in, you know, in my room in my home stay. I had no problems with money. So I would say if you're thinking about something and you're worried about security, go to Chile.
Excellent.
And go to Acela.
Muchísimas gracias, David, for your time and bringing more information about your Spanish immersion experience to those of us who have not been there yet.
Well, you're very welcome.